listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
And we have our guest broadcasting live from Wheeler's Bagels up in the Tri-City area in Tennessee. His name is Michael Battenberg. How you doing, Michael?
I'm doing good. Thanks. Appreciate having me here today.
Now, in case anybody doesn't know, Wheeler's Bagels, of course, is owned by Sheriff Gary Wheeler, former sheriff of Indian River County, and his son, Eric, who was also a deputy up in Sebastian, Florida. And I don't know how you two became friends. How did you and Gary Wheeler end up, meeting up?
Well, you know, the Tri-Cities is a small town. And so good people get brought together when God is present. But seriously, we were brought together from a retired first responders group that meets at his bagel shop initially. And then through some other friends, and mutual friends, kind of made the connection through a Bible study as well. So it's been a great opportunity to get to know Gary and all that he's doing for the community and for Christ.
Now, you're a guy who went through life and was pretty successful, owned different corporations and involved and somehow ended up making a lot of dough, but you found yourself at a dead end, I guess, in your 40s. You kind of found out that, a lot of dough, a lot of things doesn't make up for an emptiness inside. Did you already know Jesus at this point, or did this cause you to have a conversion to the Lord?
Yeah, good question. So I knew who Jesus was because my mother was always a believer, but I didn't have a relationship with Jesus. So I considered myself to be more spiritual. But at 45, after living a pretty selfish, self-centered, position and possession focused life in corporate America and initially in law enforcement, I came to an epiphany that the greatest things in life aren't things, and the greatest way that we can spend our life is making investments in eternity and serving God and serving others with the gifts, talents, and blessings that He's created us with, rather than trying to grasp for things that are temporal and not eternal. Unfortunately, it had to come at a pretty high price. I had gone through a pretty significant depression because of the PTSD and other trauma that I had experienced, both in my law enforcement career as well as my corporate career. And I just didn't realize how much I was being impacted until the time that I was ready to take my life.
I know, because I remember there was a firefighter in town here who didn't give us any telltale signs. And all of a sudden, he takes his own life. This seems to be happening with a great, it's post-traumatic PTD, right? Post-traumatic syndrome, PTS?
PTSD, yeah.
PTSD.
Disorder, and it's real, and it's it's not just suck it up and try to, get over it. It's something that haunts you and can drive individuals to do very dangerous things. And it's really important for people to understand that people that are suffering through past trauma, and we've all experienced trauma one way or another in our lives. It just depends on how that impacts us. And for me, it got to a point where I just didn't feel that I had a purpose here, and fortunately, the Holy Spirit reached me and helped me realize that I did have an opportunity for significance, but it was serving the Lord with the gifts, talents, and blessings that He had created me with, and not myself.
Now, is that when you came up with this idea of having this what do we call it? It's a retreat house up in Tennessee, where you have are they strictly male groups? I know you have prisoners that come up, and you also have church groups that come up. Correct.
Yeah, so it was actually spawned, yes, from this epiphany that I had where I basically walked away from my corporate career and decided that I was going to serve God, and I didn't know how I was going to do that. And so basically heard from the Holy Spirit, and He said, where did you find the most joy? And it was out in God's creation, and what was I lacking, which was a spiritual leader as a father in my life. And so I decided that I was gonna serve the Lord. Didn't know how, but some utilizing the outdoors and encouraging individuals using the outdoors to seek something greater. And that's how Back to Basics was born. I was actually born in Florida, where we were utilizing properties and the resources and different facilities of friends and family. You know, I was in corporate America and then traveling across the globe as a sales professional for some pretty notable companies. So I got to know a lot of individuals that had, you know, resources, second homes and so forth. And I let them know that this is something that the Lord's called me to do. And I'm going to focus on this. And, you know, if you'd be willing to allow us to use your facility or your property or your resources, you know, that would be a way for us to have a win-win situation. And so that's what we did for quite some time until my wife got pregnant and it kind of changed the trajectory. We weren't able to continue doing ministry the way that we were doing it, traveling around the world. You know, we base camp Mount Everest. We took people down to Costa Rica. We, you know, took people to the Holy Land out west, elk hunting, and just all over based on what those groups wanted to do.
Now, wait a second. You said take them to the Holy Land. You mean the Holy Land of the United States, or are you talking about Israel?
Oh, it's Israel.
Huh?
Yeah, it's Israel.
Israel.
So Back to Basics was basically born as a way to provide small groups, whether it's first responders or, you know, families, men's groups, women's groups, couples groups, companies, a place to be able to have an experience where they didn't have to worry about anything other than the objective that they were looking to achieve. And we would handle the rest. So the lodging, the food, the activities, and making sure that the schedule complemented what their objective was to be able to achieve what they're looking for, whether it was, you know, healing or enlightenment or celebration or, you know, dealing with trauma, whatever. Everything that we do and everything that we've done is all custom designed for that group. From the location that we do it, the lodging that they stay in, the food that they eat, the activities that they experience, it's all custom curated and concierge by us. So that
who has this skill of organization? Is that you?
Yes, yeah. So I'm kind of the front end of things, and my wife is the back end of things with the hospitality side.
Oh, so she's, well, I would actually say it's reversed. I would say she is in the first position as the hospitality in the front, and you're in the back doing the details.
Yeah.
Now, right. So am I to presume, so let me ask you this. So you've been, by the way, I don't know if the fellas are in the other studio. I feel like I'm being rude because it looks like I'm looking away from you instead of looking at you. I don't know. Normally it looks like I'm looking this way. Would be at you, but it looks like I'm looking off into the, I'm kind of drifting or something. I have no idea. We have another fellow comes in and does a show here on Tuesday nights. Maybe they did something or other, but I don't know if you guys can you fix that? Can you guys fix that? I don't know what it is. It just makes me feel uncomfortable because it looks like I'm not looking at you. You know, one thing I like about is looking people in the eye, you know. Anyway, so you've been a pretty successful guy. I'm more like your wife. I mean, like you said, she's more hospitality. I'm a people person, and yeah, that's great. It's all in good. But I have learned this in the business world that you can be a people person, like people. But yeah, I don't know what it seems totally like strange. Like I'm not looking at him. Like it's reversed or something.
There you go.
Did they hit a switch or something? Maybe.
That's, I'm just moving
okay.
For you.
All right. Thanks. All right. Thanks, Dylan.
No problem.
Okay, so anyway, we got that. Does it look like I'm looking at you now?
I can't see you. All I can see is your logo and your name. It's a black box.
Oh,
I see my.
You can't see me.
Mm, no.
Oh, he says he can't see me at all. That he just sees a black box with the logo. My name, Rhett Palmer.
There, huh. You see you now.
Oh, you can see me now.
Yeah.
So what was that? What was going on then? Well, we'll go over that later. I'd like to find out so we don't have that happen again. I don't know. That's what happens. We get other engineers in here, and then they mess with the equipment, and then my guy comes in here, and, well, whatever. So, but these are the you know, you said about dealing with stuff, because I go, I've been through a lot of trauma myself in my own way. I think all of us go through trauma. Sure. And you said, now you were a police officer, so you get priority. I mean, you're at the top of the list here, you know. Well, because, you know, they say a lot of police, what the average life of a police officer is 55, right?
Yeah.
You know, people go, well, what does he have that big retirement for? Well, he was putting his life on the line. I mean, I don't know how you guys do what you do when you walk up to a car with blackened windows. You know, I think they should have a megaphone that says, please step out of the car and put your hands on the roof. We don't know who you are, what you are. We don't know if you're carrying. It should change. You know, eventually it's going to change. It's got to change. I mean, why do you expect a police officer to go up to a darkened window? And by the way, that used to be illegal in Florida, and now it's legal again. Baloney. I mean, you know, why would we expect that? And then I don't understand. Like, I understand Gary's son, who was he was a police officer up in Sebastian, as I said. You know, Eric. You met Eric, right? Matter of fact, he's probably there today, right?
He is.
he's one of my favorite human beings. That guy has the greatest sense of humor and a true humility. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, you kind of have to agree with me now because...
I'll be here.
Uh-oh. There he is. There's Sheriff Gary Wheeler, the troublemaker extraordinaire. How you doing, Gary?
Good. How you doing, Red?
I like your hat.
Thank you.
Your hat with a cross.
Up here. We're in the Bible Belt.
So how did you meet this fellow? This is great that you might met Michael. I know you two are former law enforcement. Did he come into the bagel shop?
And well, the first time I met him was one of the Bible studies I was at.
Oh.
Then I met him at the first responders meeting here a couple of times. And his background and stuff was interesting, and what he was doing, I obviously have strong feelings about.
Oh, could I have an egg sandwich on the everything bagel, please?
Well, a muffin, but if you really haven't.
Oh, I love your muffins too. I've been trying to tell Gary for years that he should have a drop ship or something. I mean, I would actually his muffins are probably the best muffins. The only muffins that come close to it are.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m. 7 a.m. or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.
You're my king. Of the Son of Man, stories of the Savior, holiness with human hands, treasure for the traitor. No ear had heard, no eye had seen. You redefine.